Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Terry Savage joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch, the syndicated financial columnist that you search terrysavage.com for. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. I'm a little bit befuddled, I don't mind saying.
About what?
We have so many swirling cross currents in the financial world, politically adjacent financial world, that it's hard to give advice except to stick with the plan and not get caught up in the cross currents. And I thought I'd like to start, if you'll give me a couple of minutes, and go over a couple of buzzwords and let you kind of follow the logic or illogic. By the way, I know how tough this is. I got caught in traffic yesterday afternoon after doing Lisa's show, and I hopped in the car, and so of course I was listening to her show on the radio, and I know when you're driving in traffic, even as slow as it was on the Kennedy outbound yesterday, it's hard to follow all of this. But if I ask you to follow me with three or four buzzwords and a comment on each one of them, maybe you will understand why you don't understand what's going on.
Okay, I'm in.
All right. Let's start with inflation. It's the buzzword today. We had the consumer price index, as expected, about 4.9%. In June a year ago, it was 9.9%.
Wow.
So the number came out as expected today. 4.9%, call it 5%, is well below what it was a year ago. It is well above what the Fed has said it's going to get inflation back down to, that 2% level. Whether they can or how they could is another story. So inflation is just an interesting thing. It has not gone away. Next buzzword, let's try recession. Recession, we've been talking about a recession. The Fed has been raising interest rates to slow the economy, has announced it doesn't mind creating some unemployment, and we just had unemployment numbers that were in line with what was expected for April. We had that last week. And the economy gives some signs of slowing down. Consumers are buried in debt. They keep spending based on their credit cards. Manufacturing indexes and purchasing manufacturers and a bunch of the economic indicators show things are slowing down. But we're not seeing, and we have some layoffs, of course. They make headlines, and a lot of them surprisingly in tech, so they make more headlines. But we're not seeing, most people, unless you're one of those laid off, are not seeing real signs of a recession. If there were a recession, the question is, would the Fed stop raising interest rates? Has it maybe already finished as it raised rates a quarter of a point last week? And would they even begin to think about cutting rates to fight a recession if one came? Or would they continue saying we're going to fight inflation because it's 5%, it's not as low as we want? I mentioned a third buzzword, interest rates. Very interesting. Short-term rates, I can tell you right now that the, let me just take a look at the three-month Treasury bill is 5.25%, the six-month 5.1%. Short-term interest rates are above inflation a little bit. That indicates a couple of things. The Fed's been successful in slowing the economy, or does it indicate that the Fed is going to keep getting tougher because we're still not at the inflation level? Or, one more buzzword, the last one, debt ceiling.
Okay.
Debt ceiling. Does it indicate that there is concern out there in the marketplace that, and I'm not trying to scare you because I'll tell you that's not going to happen, but just follow me with this buzzword, debt ceiling. Does it indicate the short-term rates are high now, relatively speaking, especially compared to the 10-year Treasury rate and so forth, because people are concerned about putting their money in T-bills in case they don't get rolled over because of this debt ceiling issue, I will tell you they will get rolled over. Don't worry about it. Is that part of the reason rates are so high in the short term, or is it the reason that the Fed is really succeeding in pushing rates up and slowing credit? Oh, I'm going to give you one more buzzword. I forgot to put it on my list, but now I think about it. The banks. As the Fed raises interest rates, the banks are getting squeezed. I helped you take all your money out of the banks. I'm sorry, Wintrust. I apologized when I did it. And Wintrust is a great bank. But when banks, all of them, were paying low CD rates, I showed you how to buy T-bills. Well, the world is smart, and lots of people are doing that right now, getting 5% at least in T-bills. And so the banks have their profits squeezed. Forget about the safety of your deposits. They're safe. That's not the issue here. It's the bank stocks are coming down because investors go, gee, how are these regional banks going to make money if they have to pay depositors more? Are they going to be making loans? Are they going to be very pulling back? And would that lead to a recession?
Right.
So now you've got this swirling thing. I bet I've taken up all my time before the commercial. And the final question is, so why isn't the stock market doing anything? And I think my answer is, the stock market is confused, as you are after hearing me, and as I am after telling you that there are so many cross currents. I think of rafting down a river, something I never did and never would do, but getting moved around in all those circles or against the rocks, you know, in this canoe or raft or whatever you're taking. I think you just got to put your hands in and your arms in and huddle up and say, I've got stocks for the long run because I believe in the future. I have chicken money and I'm glad it's earning 5%. And I have a little gold as a hedge against inflation. And I'm not doing anything now because if I jump off this raft, I'm going to get hit up against these swirling water and these rocks.
Well, I'm glad that you walked around to the business of the stock market and how it's doing, because so much of people's retirements are vested in how the markets are doing. And that was the question I asked Tom Fortino yesterday, was after he laid out his vision of the land, well, then when are the markets going to start to improve? And then he kind of did that laugh he does when I say stuff like that, because, you know, he doesn't know what the Dow's going to be at the end of the year. But I'm glad you're at least addressing that, Terry, because I think a lot of us are wondering when our 401ks are going to start to improve, pick up some of those losses. Terry Savage on the line. Terry, calls and texts for you. Anything you want to say before we jump in?
No. I just wanted everybody to know that you turn on the news, it's all about money. It's also all about politics. And if you're a little confused, that is not the time to take precipitous actions. I mean, I've had people post on my blog or ask me, should I take all my money out of the bank? No, don't do that. Should I sell all my stocks? No, don't do that. But it's not easy to figure out, for sure.
Let's start with Jimmy on line one. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Jim, what can we do for you?
If she could just comment on second home mortgages, vacation homes, where she see the rates at. In, is it mostly over north of 8% now?
Not necessarily. First of all, if it's your second home, a lot depends on your credit and a lot depends on the amount of equity you're going to put down on the home. So I'm not going to give you a blanket announcement. I think you can definitely get a mortgage rate on a vacation home or a second home below 8%. There are a couple of places you can look. And in Chicago, we have Wintrust. And if you've got a banking relationship with them, they're all over. But there are places that you can check online. You can go to bankrate.com and search out mortgage rates, and particularly in that area of the country where you're looking, whether it's Florida or Wisconsin or wherever it might be, and find out which banks are being aggressive. But that's a, and then you can, there are a number of searches that you can do. GuaranteedRate.com, RocketMortgage.com, where they will send out your information to you, and everybody's trying to get your business. So it's not as easy as your first home. And again, a lot depends on your credit situation.
What number are you hearing? What are they quoting you?
I was just about to look while I was talking.
How about again, you? I want Jimmy to answer that question too, though. Jimmy, what are you hearing?
Bank of America was 8.12, and I don't have a mortgage on my primary home.
You don't have a mortgage on your primary home, so this would be the principal mortgage.
This would be the
one mortgage then? This would be the only mortgage? Wow.
So here's an opportunity. Okay.
You need.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't have a mortgage on your primary residence, one of the things that you might find it easier to do is get a mortgage on your primary residence and use that money to buy the second home. Now, if you're in a crunch here because you want to make a bid, a lowball bid, I don't think the housing market has collapsed where you're out there, I got to get a bargain right now. But one of the things, if you're working with a competent mortgage broker, I'll give you a commercial from my friend Leslie Struthers, leslie@rate.com, R-A-T-E.com. She's at Guaranteed Rate. She helps people all over the country. Go to Wintrust because they're our sponsors and they're a great bank. But those are the kinds of places where you can go and they can help you strategize. That's why I said you have to do a little work. If you don't have a mortgage on your primary resident, it might be easier to get that, especially with good credit, at a lower rate and use the cash to buy the vacation home.
I hope that helps. You might try lower.com too. David Hochberg and his people.
Oh, that's what I was searching for. I'm sorry. Glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, no, David Hochberg's in that business. And he was on with us this week or last week, and the number he had was lower than that. Good luck to you, Jimmy. Let's talk to, we got to take a break here, don't we? All right, we'll pause, and then we'll, what do you think? Pete's looking at me with a squishy face. If we make this fast, we can probably get in one more call before the break. Robin, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi, John and Terry, thanks. Listen, Terry, with your buzzwords that you were talking about, I know a family that the husband is the primary breadwinner, and it's not a huge salary. The wife works part-time. They have two children, but one is a heart condition child. So there's already been tons of expense from that perspective, and he's almost four. And all these things, like the Fed doesn't care.
She just clicked out. But well, the Fed doesn't care about the expenses that people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
We're talking about, I'll make this quick. I know you're up against a break. I'm giving you economic statistics. Remember I said it's not a recession really yet, unless, of course, you're one of those out of work. I think times are going to get tougher. I don't see a huge, deep recession. But individual families and individuals are going to be hurt when an economy is slowing. It's why we need economic growth. We need sound financial policies, etc. And this is the moment. I've said this, and I haven't brought this thought up since the last recession years ago. This is a moment when you reach out as an individual and help the people that you really care about, because all the government programs out there are not going to get to people in time.
More questions on the text line and on the phone line, 312-981-7200. You ready, Terry?
Yep, let's do it.
How come I-bonds have not posted interest in almost 1 year, Terry?
They should have posted some interest. They typically don't post in your Treasury Direct account until the fifth month after purchase. So I suggest you log in to your Treasury Direct account and take a look and see under my account and then my holdings. Mm-hmm. And that's where you would see the interest posted. But they don't send you a note saying it. There's a three-month penalty, so they never post until after the third month, just in case you might want to cash them in, so you don't get the first 3 months credited until at the very end. And then there's another month delay in posting after that, so it typically comes in the fifth month.
708 said, is it too late to buy I-bonds?
No, it's not too late to buy I-bonds. You know, in the latest I-bond, they raised the base rate from 0.4. This is the rate that sticks with the I-bond throughout the life of the bond, which you're going to hold. You must hold for a year. You should hold 5 years to avoid the three-month interest penalty, and could be 20, 30 years. You could cash them in any time after that, paying taxes on the gains. So they've made them more attractive by raising the base rate. Now, every 6 months, May and November, the rate, the floating part of it, changes based on inflation. So we had good news this morning about inflation. It's coming down a bit. We saw, of course, the new I-bond rate is lower than one set May 1st because, in fact, inflation is lower. So they're not like, oh my God, wow, 9.62% last year at this time. That was a get it, even though the base rate was only 0.4%. And then, of course, the adjustments have been coming down. So they're okay. They're okay for a long-term kind of a thing. It's an okay gift to a child or grandchild. Put them in your gift box in your Treasury Direct account. But they're not a wow thing anymore.
Yeah, well, not like that. 708 said, hey, John Williams, my wife and I never miss the noon business show on Wednesdays. Thank you, Terry, for sharing your knowledge weekly. And 773 said, I recently bought a two-year Treasury note. Will they mail me a 1099, or do I have to download it?
No, you'll download it in the year for T-bills, it's in the year they mature. For the for Treasury notes, it's the year in which interest is paid. So next January, you will log into your TreasuryDirect.gov account. That's that wonderful account that let you buy T-bills or Treasury notes or I-bonds. And there will be a message in your investor inbox section that says download your 1099, and you will print it out. And that will be the interest you earn, but you will not have to pay state income tax on the interest you earn. So that's something pretty good.
Okay, Terry, I'm 62, says 847, and my husband is 78. He's been collecting his Social Security since he was 66. He's always made more money than me. Tell me why I should not start taking my Social Security now. If something happens to him, I would collect his amount.
As I recall, because you started taking yours early, you may get a penalty on his amount. But I want to tell you something. There is a handbook, as Larry Kotlikoff, the famous Social Security guru, says, 2,700 pages long. The only way I know I can give you the right answer to that question about what strategy will get you the best benefits, A, in your lifetime, and B, if he should predecease you, the only way I know you can get the absolute correct answer is, number one, not from me, and number two, not from Social Security, but you should go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. This is not a pitch to sell you something. It costs $39. If you make a smart decision because of this, it could be worth a fortune over your lifetime. Go through the whole thing. Put in the date, your husband's age, his benefit, the date he started. It'll ask you for all that. It will ask you about your earnings and benefits. The computer does it all for you, and it will tell you the best strategy for you. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. I don't trust myself to give you the right answer.
But if I'm in my early 60s, say, what's the age at which I can start, and what's the age at which I should start?
Oh, just here we go.
Well, but I mean, what's the earliest age you can take Social Security? Is it 62?
62.
Okay,
right.
And then but the maximum age, you're supposed to wait till 70, right? Isn't that what, I mean, I'm not holding you to this. I'm just saying
right? Here are the facts. I was going to pull out something that I printed out once to always have on my desk. Do I have this on my desk? Here's the deal with Social Security. Here's what I know for an absolute fact. You can take it at 62. If you're still working, there's an earnings penalty, which in some way the formula adjusts that you eventually get it back. But your base benefit is permanently lowered. And so you definitely don't want to take Social Security early. I've written four columns about this. Go to terrysavage.com and just under columns read Social Security and read all the columns about when to start taking it. You want to wait till your full retirement age. I know this is a spousal question and it gets more complicated, but as an individual, you should wait till your full retirement age. And then if you are among those who have other savings, other income, even an IRA, and you can postpone until age 70. Now, right now, your full retirement age is somewhere between 66 and 67. If you can wait those roughly three more years till you're 70, you get an 8% increase in your base every year you delay. That really adds up. And in the future, after you're long retired, any cost of living increases for inflation are added on to that higher base. We've discussed this a lot, but it bears repeating. If you're able to live off other income in those 3 years, then delay. If you're able to live and wait and stretch it till at least your full retirement age, do that. Fully a third of Social Security beneficiaries don't wait till their full retirement age. They've paid the money in and they're costing themselves over the long run a lot of money, particularly if they live a good long life.
I want you to, though, just add on to that, that not everybody has that luxury.
That's why I said it very carefully. So 50% of Social Security recipients depend on that check for a majority of their living expenses.
Which is tough.
So, you know, some people just really don't have a choice. But you asked me to strategize. Mm-hmm. When it gets complicated is both spouses, different ages. I'm going to repeat that website, MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Famed economist Larry Kotlikoff and I will digress for a moment and let you know about column that I just wrote, and it'll get posted later this week. I've written about it before. Let me just go on a quick rant. Do I have a minute for a quick rant?
38 seconds.
All right. Here it is. Social Security makes mistakes, huge mistakes. And in fact, they are clawing back benefits from people where they, Social Security, calculated their benefits wrongly. Larry and I started a project. He's written about it in Forbes. We have an article coming up on Next Avenue. We are working with some major league people to expose this issue of Social Security asking for $70,000, $80,000, a couple hundred thousand dollars back from SSDI recipients, from kids whose parents claimed them as the parents were disabled. Now the kids are 21. Social Security comes after the kids. We are collecting Social Security horror stories. We have some very powerful people aligned. If you go to terrysavage.com, right at the top of the homepage is a link to the stories we've collected. You can email me, terry@terrysavage.com. Just put Social Security horror story. If they're coming after you to pay back benefits where they made a mistake, they have $8.6 billion on their balance sheet that they acknowledge of overpayments that they made that they're trying to claw back.
Wow.
Shame on them.
Here's the next question. Terry, if the government defaults, will that affect bond redemption or interest payments? Answer that after we do a little more business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. United Airlines ranks third among the six biggest U.S. air carriers for business and first-class travelers. That's according to the latest survey of passengers by J.D. Powers. United climbs from fifth place. JetBlue is first and Delta is second. American Airlines ranks last. United slips to last place in the premium economy segment. Delta was first. In the economy class rankings, United came in seventh out of 11 airlines ranked. Southwest, the dominant carrier at Midway Airport, remains first in that category. The Chicago Blackhawks have seen a surge in season ticket sales after securing the number one pick in the NHL draft. Front Office Sports reports the team sold $5.2 million in season ticket packages within 12 hours of securing the top pick on Monday. Sales included 1,200 full-season plans. The Blackhawks are expected to draft standout Connor Bedard when the draft is held on June 28th. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food Time. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and we're going back to the farm today, and this is a big one.
We farm, around 3,000 acres just north of Des Moines, Iowa.
More from him after I tell you we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the line is a seventh-generation farmer.
Yeah, my name is Nick Helland.
Nick, his dad, and his uncle and cousin raise corn and soybeans near Des Moines, which has a problem like so many other cities and towns and farming areas across the country. Drinking water sources are being overwhelmed by nitrate runoff from farm fields, but Polk County, where Nick's farm is, has been paying for the installation of filtering systems on farms.
We installed two bioreactors.
That sounds pretty high-tech, doesn't it? Bioreactor? It is not.
It's actually a really simple installation where they dig a hole ahead of where we have tile drainage coming out of our fields, and they line it with plastic and fill it with wood chips.
Well, do they work? Do they clean up the water?
These are brand new, so we haven't seen any output from them. But we've actually installed these on another field of ours, and the bioreactors have pulled somewhere between 70 to 80% of the nitrates out of the water.
And there's another type of filtering system being installed that is even lower tech.
It's called a saturated buffer, a grass strip that is along a creek bank. And you force the water, instead of go directly to the creek, to go through that grass strip's root system.
And Nick says the removal of nitrates is even greater with the saturated buffer. And with Polk County paying for everything and cleaner water leaving his farm, it's a win-win.
In my mind, it really is. I mean, my goal here is that I want to take care of this land. I mean, this is truly our greatest asset. You know, we need to be able to fertilize our crops to be able to have good yields. But then this nitrate control is the other part of it. These structures, I think, are a great step in that direction.
And what's working on Nick's farm can work elsewhere.
There's tons of opportunities for this to work in a lot of parts of the United States. So I'm very excited to see that success keep going forward.
Farmer Nick Helland from near Des Moines. From the farm to your belly, today is National Shrimp Day. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hey, Terry, somebody asked a little bit ago about if the government defaults, will that affect bond redemption or interest rates?
I'm going to answer the way I've answered that every time you ask. Someone asks it. The government is not going to default. It was nice yesterday to see Mitch McConnell say that. It was nice to hear the president say that. The government is not going to default.
Yeah,
theoretically, if they delayed, they're not going to do that.
It was not nice, though, to see Kevin McCarthy come out and say, well, we all sat down and nobody moved an inch. But I think that's just posturing right now.
That's a lot of posturing. They'll meet again Friday. Look, a thought came to me during that commercial break.
Yeah.
And I just want to ring a bell here. I didn't complete, you know, my opening point about how everything's swirling and confusing. I started thinking about that. I daydream during the commercials. That's how I get my best column ideas. And I realized I need to say something. So I looked up a couple of charts. So pay attention to this, please. This is not a forecast. This is actionable advice. I'm going to give you two numbers. The pandemic low for the Dow, 18,591. The Dow high 2 years later, January 14th, 2022, so a little over a year ago, 36,799.65. Okay, let's call it 18,600 when at the bottom of the scare of the spring in March of 2020, a double, 36,000, roughly 800, January 2022. Do you remember the sickening feeling? Because I surely do.
I haven't felt that sick
about the market in a long time. We are now at Dow 33,700. We're like 3,000 points below our all-time high. If you've been in the market for the last 4 or 5 years, you wrote it out, you're 4 or 5 years older, and you're probably in pretty good shape. Here's your homework. Think about, because none of us knows, that's how I started this, what's going to happen and why the market isn't reacting. Think about where you are in your retirement planning. If you're 23, ignore all of this. If you're 33, 43, ignore all of this. America will survive and prosper. If you're 55, think twice about it. If you're 62, thinking about it, really think twice. And if you're already retired, take a look. You've just gotten your first quarter statements. You'll get any minute, you'll get your April statement, or it's probably in the mail now. Go online, your 401k, and say, that was a huge drop that time. I'm not predicting that. How will I feel? How will my life change if the portion of my money that's in the stock market, and you will always have some portion, but maybe a lesser portion, as you get older, farther into retirement, have fewer other sources of income, how will I feel if there's a 10 or 15% drop? You know, look, maybe there's a light recession, the Fed changes its mind, prints a lot of money, and the stock market goes soaring off again. I don't know. Maybe there's a tougher recession, and companies don't have good earnings, and everybody says, gee, I'd rather be in 5% T-bills, and maybe the market goes down. Right now, sit down tonight. Do I need to lighten up a little bit, or as they say, the savage truth, sell down to the sleeping point? That's your challenge. I'm not panicking you. I'm not predicting. I'm just asking you to think about how your life and your emotions and your risk tolerance would be impacted if the market were to drop sharply for one reason or another. Perspective, everybody. We're at Dow 33,327. The high was 36,800. The low at the bottom, at that pandemic fright, was 18,000, roughly 600.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. While you can, while there's no panic, while you can make a sensible decision.
I got 30 seconds left. Hey, Terry Savage, do I have to start Social Security at 70 or can I wait past that?
No, you have to start at 70.
John, I collected Social Security at 62 and I'm loving it, said somebody. So you all get to make your own decisions.
Yep,
but you've
enjoy.
Heard Terry's advice and she's basing it on the math. And that website, by the way, was MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. I recommend TerrySavage.com. She joins us on Wednesdays. Okay, Terry, as always, thank you.
Thank you.